Alexander Scott and Brett Smiley. Before we begin, I just want to, I don't know if John DiPietro is on the line. He had a question about UI, and I just wanted to take a quick second to address that. And if you have other follow-ups, we might need to go to Department of Labor and Training. But just to clarify, over the weekend, on Saturday, an email was sent about the new certification system that the governor referenced today. That email went to everyone who filed a claim, even if those claims were still in process. And when a claim is in process, you don't yet have all of the PIN numbers, the codes that go with that to recertify, because you're not in a position to recertify yet. That caused some confusion. And so the good news is when folks have their claims processed and you call into the system, you'll no longer receive that busy signal. But we do apologize for any confusion that was caused over the weekend, and I hope that helps to clarify. And with that, we will open it up for questions.
The conference is now in talk mode.
This is Michael Bill from Motif Magazine. We have had rumors that there was a COVID-19 positive test of someone at the Wyatt Detention Facility. Could Dr. Alexander Scott or anyone else illuminate that a little bit more? Was it a patient? No, I'm sorry, was it a detainee or a staff member, if true?
Hi, Michael. It's Brett Smiley. From what we know, again, it's not a state-run facility, but it was a detainee of the U.S. Marshals Service. Not an ICE detainee, and it's actually a detainee from Massachusetts. That was confirmed by the Rhode Island U.S. Marshal, but those are all the details we have.
All right, thank you.
Dr. Alexander Scott, this is Elizabeth McNamara from East Greenwich News. Last week you had said 75% of the deaths from COVID-19 were among nursing home residents. Is that percentage still pretty consistent? And that seems high compared to other states. I understand we do have an older population, but do you have any other comments about why that would be such a high percentage?
Yeah, it continues to be the concern of this population, the true challenge in terms of the medically and physically fragile nature of this population, and even just hearing the unfortunate death, the number of people that are in their 90s while discussing it is what contributes to the challenge. But that continues to be consistent, and we are doing what we need to help address it.
Is there any sign that this has to do with increased testing at nursing homes? In other words, could there be somebody died in a nursing home in Massachusetts and we don't know that they have COVID-19? And are we, is there any way of measuring that, or is that just impossible to know?
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent question, because we are being extremely aggressive, knowing the congregate setting, knowing that we need to identify as many people as possible. As I shared previously, we are doing a full scope of testing across the nursing home community, starting where there are large clusters of cases. And we are already moving into places where there are no cases. We are also doing the testing, so we have a clear understanding of the landscape, even though the testing is one point in time. That may be different from what other states are doing and might contribute to why we have more COVID-associated components.
Doctor, is there a way to measure a death exposed in Rhode Island to get non-COVID deaths, sort of just get an understanding of how COVID relates to the overall death toll in the state on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, that's something that we would really be able to do as a sample with our medical examiner cases, because those are the ones that we are aware of and
on your machine in this room?
Definitively from a death standpoint, And it may be less helpful because a smaller proportion of the COVID-related deaths that occur actually come through our medical examiners. But I'll check with our data team and see if there is an indirect creative way to at least get a sense of what you're asking.
Appreciate it. Just make sure your phones are muted if you're not asking a question because we're getting a lot of background noise today.
I just want to follow up on something you had just said. I just want to make sure I'm clear. So Dr. Alexander Scott, you're not automatically testing everybody at the medical examiners for COVID-19. It's if there's a reason for it, but it's not something that everyone who dies in Rhode Island is tested for this, correct?
That's correct.
And I just want to follow up on something that the governor said today, too. I'm talking about that we're getting 2 million masks. And knowing the private sector right now, it's so much more expensive than normal. Any tally or any idea how much it's costing the state to respond or at least to buy the PPE?
I can give a rough estimate of what we spent on all PPE. And that would include, you know, N95, K95.
Yeah.
Gowns, everything.
Yeah.
It's not just the surgical mask. We've spent about $35-40 million as of the last readout to agencies on PPE. That is certainly going to grow, and that's, of course, all federally reimbursable.
Okay. Thank you.
Governor, I want to follow up on my question. And this comes from several listeners. That's why I'm not that familiar with it. But it has to do with these buy codes. And they say that this is direct from this woman, Tammy. I can't follow the instructions to certify weekly. I don't have the buy code and don't even know if my claim has been approved. So, let's see. So they're frustrated in that. I guess you would have addressed it on Sunday, but then they're instructed to create a PIN and certify weekly for benefits that they require there for a buy code that they haven't been given yet, and that's why it's been out for weeks.
Yeah, John, this is Jen Bogdan. I addressed at the beginning of the call, and I might have to connect you with DLT. What this sounds like is an email that went out on Saturday went to everyone who has applied for UI, regardless of whether or not they had been approved yet, and so that created some confusion, because if you haven't been approved yet, you don't have the PIN numbers and the codes that go along with recertification, so you can't, nor do you need to recertify anything until you've been approved. That sounds like what this is, but I can connect you with DLT to address that further.
Okay, great, thank you.
Sure.
Governor, I know the Brown University dorm space is free. Can you give some insight as to why you partnered with Brown and didn't use one of the state schools?
Say the last thing again, insight into what?
Why you partnered with Brown University on the dorm space. I know it's free, but instead of using one of the state schools?
This is Brett Smiley again. We're still working on agreements on the other dorms as well, so it's possible, depending on need, that we will use one of the state schools. It was speed to delivery that Brown had already moved some students around and was able to work out a lease agreement, a no-cost lease agreement, with us on it. So it was a speed issue.
And it's also, who's that? Is that Brian?
Yes, Governor, thank you.
Hi, I'm having a hard time hearing. I apologize. It's also, you know, we've reached out to everybody, and everybody's kind of doing a different thing. So URI, and they've all been great, I want to say. URI, it has, they're making meals, you know, prepared meals for us that we're distributing mostly to seniors. They've given us a bus or van that we're using to do mobile testing. Providence College has offered to do the food service for one of the field hospitals. Rhode Island College has, we are looking at some of their dorms, so we're just kind of trying to, I guess, spread the load, and it depends on who's willing to offer what when. And a lot of it, too, in this one, honestly, just depends on the nature of the facilities. So we've had the Army Corps of Engineers and the National Guard going out and, like, evaluating facilities, and for whatever reason, you know, Brown, it seemed like this was the right thing to do for them.
And a
along those lines, Governor, this is Patrick from the Journal. Are we looking at all at central quarantine sites for folks who have tested positive to quarantine and keep themselves away from their families and others, but who may not need hospitalization?
Yes. So right now, that's what we have the Wyndham for, you know, for homeless people and people who are housing insecure. Anyone who has a house, you know, when we say quarantine, that's really just staying at home. And yeah, we are definitely constantly evaluating other hotels or other dormitories.
Okay, so you are looking at potentially an option for folks who do have houses, who do have homes. So it's home, but
no.
Please mute your phone if you're not asking a question.
So you're not looking at anything for folks who do have homes but do test positive and might want a spot to quarantine away from other people if they test positive?
Right now, maybe I don't understand this. So right now, if you are housing or the Department of Health feels that for whatever reason you don't have a safe place to isolate, we have the Wyndham Hotel. When we run out of that, if we run out of that, you know, we'll look for more. If you have a house, then you isolate in your house.
And we are... So you're not looking at any other kind of isolation. If some other countries, some other places, they want people to isolate away from their family so they don't infect the rest of the family, but that's not something we're looking at.
Not on a broad approach, but we are handling it on a case-by-case basis. If someone... doesn't feel it is safe for them to isolate at home because it exposes someone else, we are working with them to find the accommodations that will work that can range from staying with another family member to having some other situation put in place.
Thank you.
Doctor, if I may follow up on your answer to my question about the Abbott test. You mentioned that the state last year was testing the rapid test from the CVS site. Are you retesting all of the tests, or was that just sample at the beginning?
That was a sample at the beginning, which was a part of the validation for that test.
Thank you. And what was the accuracy rate?
It was all consistent. So the results that we obtained through the rapid test were verified and consistent when we redid it at the state health laboratory.
Do you know how many tests were retested?
Was a handful of the usual part of the validation, less than 10 or so.
Okay.
Governor, the stay-at-home order is until May 8th. Could you see elective surgery at the hospital starting before that, or would that be one of the different types of businesses, if you will, that would then be allowed right after that's lifted?
That is an excellent question. The answer is yes, I could see it, which is different from saying, yes, it will happen. It's what we're working hard on literally right now, today, tomorrow, the next day, with hospitals. The hospitals are really struggling because of the lack of revenue from these non-critical surgeries.
Right.
So, frankly, we're trying to figure out a way to do something before May 8th. I don't know if that'll be possible. If it is, we'll do it. If not, it'll be really quickly thereafter. It's a top priority.
I've been pressured to ask you that by different doctors I see when I walk in my neighborhood. The husband and wife, both doctors, chased me down yesterday to ask that question.
Yeah, tell them we're working on it, and I would like to find a way to do it before May 8th. We're working with hospitals, but it'll be a collaboration between the Department of Health and hospitals, and like I said, it's a priority for sure.
Governor, I'm hearing from some South County and Newport listeners who are asking about summer rentals and tenants from out of state. What's your advice or guidance to that business sector as far as people who rent out a house for a week at a time? Is there going to be anything specific they should look for?
I would say hold just a bit until I have better guidance. It depends, frankly, on if they're renting to out-of-staters primarily or people in Rhode Island, and I'm going to have to get back to them with better guidance. The one thing I will say is that cleaning protocols, they should be starting to think about how they're going to do a better job of cleaning and disinfecting.
Dr. Alexander Scott, I know you mentioned quick quarantining today, and I know, you know, the issue of fines for people who break quarantine came up a couple of weeks ago. Has there been anybody who's been issued a fine for breaking a quarantine that you know of so far?
I am not aware of fines issued for that, but we can get more information.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I don't know. I'm nervous to say yes or no because cities and towns are doing a lot of this, local police officers. So can we get back to you on that?
Sure. Thank you.
All right. We have a couple minutes left.
Oh, sorry, Governor. I know Bishop Tobin had put out a message that he hoped to have masks in some form by the end of May. Again, it was just a hope, but I know you're getting a lot of questions about what if. Is there any possibility of that if there's no communion and people sit so far apart?
Yeah, those are all the questions that we're trying to figure out. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to hope for, and certainly I share that hope too. The hardest things to bring back are going to be congregations, particularly congregations that might involve people over 70 years old. And it's just, I don't know. We're working on it. I share the hope. We'll have to figure it out together.
Thank you.
Governor, I have a question about garden centers. I had thought perhaps you were going to be saying something yesterday or today about reopening smaller garden centers, mom-and-pop shops.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. No, what I said was that on Monday, the 27th, DEM and DBR would be putting out guidance so that they specifically around these smaller garden centers. In the meantime, I closed the garden centers associated with the big box retailer for browsing, so they can do appointments or they can do curbside pickup. And then on Monday, there'll be new guidance out explaining how the littler shops could open for the season.
Great. Thanks so much.
That's all the time we have. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, guys.